What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. We're talking a win today. Jack, what's up?
Yeah, happy about that, Nick. Keeping an eye on the scores all game, and it seemed to be a pretty comfortable one, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was very stress-free, this win. 101-85 over the Spurs. Nets really took over in that second. They had a good first quarter start the game. Second quarter was good. Third quarter was good. Spurs made a small run in the fourth, but the Nets were able to take care of it. Very nice win.
Yeah, and looks like from the looks of the box score, only outscored in that final quarter and was only outscored by six by that margin anyway. So tell me some keys to the game, Nick. What was who were the guys that got it done? What were the key facets of the match?
You know, I thought D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris all played great. You know, a lot of contributions around the board. But D'Lo had another just all-star moments in this game. He started the game really hot. He starts the game with like a horse floater, almost as high as the shot clock. You know, just hit a couple crazy shots. Third quarter had two deep threes, Steph Curry range. He just had his moments in this game. You know, flirted with a triple-double, 23 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Just that overall all-star game you wanted to see.
Man, he's just getting money, money, and money. Not just on the floor, but off the floor in his contract. Yeah. I think he's gonna get close to that Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns contract if he keeps playing like this. Because I did see that shot because it came up in my notifications. And yeah, I just don't understand how you have that much control and poise. That's like a shot you see Stephen Curry taking his pre-games when he's just, you know, horsing around, literally. Yeah, but absolutely phenomenal shot. But D'Lo across the board, Nick, just, you know, his usual sensational self, what we're sort of coming to expect of him, I guess.
Yeah, and a couple good defensive plays in this game too. You know, some good contests, a block, a steal, you know, just overall solid game from him. And he was able to come in and kind of calm down the storm at certain times when the Spurs looked like they were going to make a run. So really positive performance from him. You know, backcourt mate Caris LeVert had some great moments in this game. End of the second quarter was really big for him. You know, hit a three, had a nice drive. I think he might have been on a 10-0 run himself. 7 assists to a positive sign, 5 rebounds, and obviously the defense was there for LeVert too.
Was it his best game since coming back, Nick? I'm guessing that's probably a pretty resounding yes.
Yeah, I would say so. I think this game, you just saw a lot of it. There was just some nice takes. The three-point shot looked good. You know, he missed some shots he's usually going to make, but still getting that rhythm back. I liked the assist. This is his best assist game since coming back, and also the zero turnover, so he was a lot more in control tonight.
What type of assists were they? Were they pick-and-roll sort of assists? Were they just, you know, finding the open man, guys hitting their shots, or combination of both?
I think it was actually more so, you know, finding guys hitting open shots. You know, some of it was just finding D'Lo when he was hot. There was a play hit Carroll across the floor. You know, there wasn't a ton of pick-and-roll with Jared Allen tonight between him. So I think it was actually just an overall just kind of finding the role in the offense and hitting the open guys. Good overall from the squad, to be honest.
Yeah, how many total assists was it? It was 24 on how many made field goals? 35 made field goals. That's a pretty awesome game. I mean, it's we talk about, you know, the offensive flow of this team, and when that ball is moving, they're just so much harder to defend. And I think that, you know, I did a pre-game piece for Nets Republic, and I forgot to mention that, you know, the passing game was going to be integral. But was it just one of those nights where just everyone had sort of made a real impact, Nick?
Yeah, I just felt like a good team effort. You know, everybody was contributing. Obviously, D'Lo got the party started. LeVert had his moments. Your boy Joe Harris, you know, efficient as ever. 5 of 7 from the field, 5 of 6 from three. Also surpassed Bertans in this game for the number one spot in three-point percentage. So obviously that's cool too.
Joe Harris is shooting 73% from three in his last 5 games, 19 of 26. So that certainly is going to be the reason why he's gone up there. And he's had no all-star fatigue, let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, he's been great. And like a lineup we saw out there, we've seen a little bit against Charlotte as well tonight over the last couple games, is Joe Harris and Allen Crabbe sharing the floor. And I feel like that just spaces the floor so much. You know, when they threw out a lineup to end the second quarter, it was like Caris LeVert, Crabbe, Harris. I can't remember the other guy. I want to say it was Carroll and Jared Allen. There was just so much spacing, and they could run that pick and roll, or Caris could take his guy off the dribble, and it just ended up in a good shot.
It's important, and it seems to me that the team does seem to be hitting their strides right now at a really timely point of the season with Spencer Dinwiddie to come back in the coming days and weeks. But before we move on to the reserves, Nick, what was Jared Allen's impact like? You know, +14, you know, leading the team with that with Damari Carroll and Caris LeVert.
Yeah, the Spurs ran a lot of zone tonight. That's a big reason that took so many threes. So it kind of took the pick and roll out of the mix a little bit. So Jared Allen kind of found some of those shots under the rim, just cleaning up rebounds here and there. But overall, I thought it was a solid game. Wasn't crazy impactful, but it was just like a game where your center just kind of does the dirty work.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what you need from a center on games. You know, flirted with that double-double again, you know, 9 points, 8 rebounds, an offensive one in there. But out of the reserves, Nick, who really stuck out to you? Was it Davis? Was it Carroll? Was it Crabbe? Was it Rodion's in his short amount of time?
I always feel like Ed brings some good physicality, especially against a bigger guy like Aldridge. You know, Aldridge did score against him, but he didn't make him bang and earn those buckets. You know, Rodion's looks solid again. No Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. So obviously, Rodion's looks like he's solidifying himself in that rotation.
12 rebounds for Damari Carroll. That's a number.
Yeah, they were good team rebounding tonight. You saw a lot of guys kind of step up where in the past couple games there's been issues. The team rebounding was better. You know, you saw guys across the board. You mentioned Amari. You see D'Lo has 7 rebounds. Caris LeVert has 5. So just like a good group effort on the board tonight.
I remember seeing that Coach Kenny said he was a little bit worried about the physicality on the defensive board. So I had a feeling that would be a real emphasis tonight. And it's no surprises hearing that from you. But Rodion's, Nick, obviously had his signature move, as you put it on Twitter. His 11 minutes, is this going to be his role going forward? He might get a few more minutes here and there, but he seems to be quite effective in those limited minutes.
Yeah, I like it. You know, one drive that stuck out to this game for me was Rodion's kind of attacked the Spurs. The shot clock was expiring. He was just fearless attacking the rim and got the foul call. So I just like the energy he brings out there. And like you said, his signature move, the steal and slam, it's just the kind of thing you need from somebody off the bench.
Yeah, and I mean, it really feeds into the whole atmosphere and the bench and everything. Speaking of, I'm not sure. I haven't watched the broadcast of the game yet, but seeing guys like Jahna Musa, Jared Dudley, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson on the bench there, were those guys up and about? Were they just the enthusiasm? 100%. What was that? All right, awesome.
They were wild. Like, the bench had some incredible celebrations this game. Like, the overall extra stuff to the game was great. Not only the bench was great, Ian Eagle and Richard Jefferson were awesome too. So you'll enjoy the broadcast from multiple aspects, not just on the court.
It's great to see. You know, obviously we talked about, you know, how would Rondae and Jared, you know, take their sort of, you know, lesser roles going forward. But we've spoken about that they're going to have some sort of an impact for the rest of the season. You know, there'll be injuries and resting along the way. But it's great to see this sort of team buy-in mentality. And we expect nothing less. But Nick, touching on a guy, Allen Crabbe, 25 minutes, you know, leading in minutes off the bench behind Damari Carroll, plus 10, nailed a couple of threes. What was his performance like?
Yeah, not a bad performance. Like we said, you know, I think it was the Hornets game. He didn't shoot great, but his impact out there wasn't bad. And that's not something we could have said last season. So Crabbe's, you know, been solid, a lot of nice off-ball movement. A couple shots were like halfway down. He also had a nice drive on Aldridge in this game. So not a bad performance from Crabbe at all.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, we should have got rid of him in that salary dump. But if he keeps playing like this, you know, he might not certainly be worth the $19 million that he might now. But he's at least becoming serviceable and becoming a pretty integral, important part to the success, especially on the offensive end. But Nick, on Shabazz Napier, I know you mentioned he was probably one of the worst performers, if not the worst performer of the night. 1 of 7 from 3. Was he just doing his old thing where he was just jacking it a little bit too much?
Yeah, I felt like he was just jacking a little bit too many threes out there. You know, step back threes, a little too early in the shot clock. Just shots weren't falling down, and he just kind of keeps taking them sometimes. I know that's kind of like his role a little bit, but sometimes it is frustrating. So, you know, it's nitpicking, but I didn't like Shabazz's game. I think one thing that really stuck out, you know, late first quarter, early second quarter, Shabazz was kind of running the show with the bench and some of the other guys. It didn't really work out. And then you saw later in the second quarter when LeVert was running the show, things are working a lot more smoothly. So I think that's something, you know, Kenny might consider staggering D'Lo's and LeVert's minutes, but I know he wants to get their chemistry together. Obviously, when Dinwiddie's back, he's going to suck up all those minutes and probably some of Graham's minutes as well.
Speaking of that chemistry, Nick, we've spoken about it probably being one of the most important things going forward, especially when Dinwiddie comes back and, you know, closing lineups and all the rest. What was that chemistry like? I did see a couple of highlights of those two, you know, dribble handoffs, those sort of things. What was the chemistry like between those two budding stars?
Yeah, I felt like this was the best chemistry we saw between them since LeVert's return, you know, similar to what we saw early in the year. They were trying to connect on a couple passes where a touch off, but then you saw LeVert hitting D'Lo when he was hot, and we know they have a nice relationship off the court as well. Talking about the closing lineup, Jack, I did take note because I know that's something we talk a lot about in the mailbag. The Nets closed out pretty much with D'Lo, LeVert, Harris, Damari Carroll, and Jared Allen.
It's exactly what we'd expect. And
yeah.
It's going to be hard with Spencer Dinwiddie coming back. Who do you take out of that? Like, literally, you wish you could have six men on the court because Spencer Dinwiddie has proven he's had clutch moments this season, but D'Angelo Russell, you can't take a guy like that out. I know other people have advocated for taking him out before, and Coach Kenny has done it in the past, but with the form that he is showing, you know, and I think Caris LeVert, I think there might be times where we don't see a necessarily consistent closing lineup, but it's a luxury to have going forward, at least.
Yeah, especially if you've got a guy in foul trouble, played big minutes the night before, maybe somebody's out getting some rest, rolled ankle. So having the options is definitely big going down the stretch. It's going to be tough decisions for Kenny, but like you said, D'Angelo's been so good, and also the relationship has gotten so much better. And a lot of quotes after this game, the last game, Kenny just pretty much saying he's got to allow D'Lo to be D'Lo and be creative and shoot those 30-foot threes.
Yeah, I think that we spoke about the trust. It's at an all-time high, and the leeway that Coach Kenny is giving D'Angelo now, he has earned that by doing all the nitty-gritty things that he wants from him, you know, being more engaged, being more of a leader, rebounding the ball, and that sort of being engaged on that end of the floor for D'Angelo Russell allows him to take these rainbow floaters, these Steph Curry threes. He's earning that, and it's just showing, you know, he's appearing on House of Highlights, Bleacher Report on a nightly basis. And, you know, he's got that swag. He's got that confidence. He is playing like a star right now. He's not, you know, he hasn't solidified himself by any stretch. You know, he has to do it for long stretches to be considered, you know, a superstar, you know, even like a Kemba Walker type. But if he keeps playing like this going forward, he's going to be earning a lot of money, as I mentioned earlier. And that relationship, you know, it's just really they've brought each other so much success. You know, Coach Kenny, in terms of, it's just another tick on his resume to be able to turn this number two pick, who was a castaway from the Los Angeles Lakers, into an all-star. You know, he said that, you know, he didn't put a ceiling on any of these guys, and he didn't want to, you know, say, you know, they could be top 30, top 50 or whatever. You know, he just wants them to be them. And the trust across the board, it's something wonderful, and it's what's bringing the performances like this on such a regular basis.
100%. I think it's, you know, not only helping Kenny and D'Lo, helping Sean Marks, helping the Nets organization, just big overall. Actually, on the NBA outlet today, which just recently dropped, we had a discussion of, is D'Angelo Russell a top 10 point guard? So I think, you know, just getting in that conversation, working his way up and the success he's having and putting the Nets in a position to make the playoffs and be a sixth seed. You know, it's not like he's putting up empty numbers and they're losing, you know, somebody like a Devin Booker. Like, his team is in the playoffs.
Yeah, shout out to Will Jackson there for that nice little piece on OGDBasketball.com about Devin Booker. And he did make a nice little apt comparison about D'Angelo Russell and how those sort of similar players are making more of an impact on winning teams. And we've spoken about that as well. It's like, you know, Will's probably listened to the Brooklyn Buzz a little bit in terms of, we wanted D'Lo to impact winning performances. And there would be times where he would have empty stats, you know, early in the season, late last season. But now he is the fulcrum of this team, especially on the offensive end. And, you know, he's taken threes like no other, and he's earning that because he's just so smooth from there that you're just expecting him to make it. And one thing I wanted to touch on before we left, Nick, 53s. Was that just the nature of the Spurs defense and the fact that they would just be able to take those shots? Or was it some of the force, you know, 38% from there? That's a decent number.
Yeah, I think honestly it was mostly the Spurs defense. You know, Kenny's going to tell his guys to take open threes. They worked the ball around pretty well. They missed their fair share of open threes, but knocking down a percentage like that is not bad at all. Spurs, you know, we didn't really touch on this. Weren't necessarily playing great. You know, this is the end of a 7-game road trip for them. They played a back-to-back against the Knicks last night in a close game in the fourth quarter. They didn't really have much juice. You know, the Nets, I think, had a good matchup against the Spurs. Like, perimeter defense-wise, the Nets were able to really work them inside. So they were almost forced to play the zone, or the Nets would have exploited them in man-to-man.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, that sort of bounce back motivated performance in the same city is one that you sort of worry about, and it was the reason why I was worried about it. I think San Antonio is a tremendous team, and, you know, coached by one of the best of all time, if not the best of all time, and just a very fundamentally sound. I was going to say fundamentally sound. but they're a great team, and I think they'll get it all together because, you know, with the Lakers bumping down around them, who knows what could happen in that bottom rung of the playoff race out west. But it was a nice win, and it shows that, you know, it avenges of sorts because we had that close win against San Antonio last time. But they're just playing it game by game, and this is a nice win in this home stretch that hopefully gives you momentum, game by game performance. I'm going to be keep on preaching that, and, you know, I'm also, I guess, echoing the sentiments of Coach Kenny and the Brooklyn Nets franchise.
Yeah, exactly. You got to take it game by game. Obviously, every matchup is going to be a little different. You know, Wednesday's matchup against Washington actually does have some value because it could be a nice knockout punch to them, kind of push them down the standings. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they are still in the race. So just take care of business at home, like we talked about. Build some big momentum before you go on that long road trip.
Yeah, momentum is key in basketball, and especially with this sort of last final 20 games. You know, it feels like yesterday that we were talking about that terrible, terrible stretch of losses. But, you know, things have changed dramatically. But I think the preaching of consistency is going to be one thing that's going to help us going forward, that game-by-game mentality. And, you know, guys aren't resting on their laurels. So, Nick, any other things you wanted to touch on before we end this one?
No, just, you know, hopefully the Nets can build off the defense they played tonight. I thought they had some nice physicality and build off of the team rebounding. You know, there are things that you can control and do well that can impact winning basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. They're just the fundamentals, the things that you can easily, like you said, control. And control the controllables is the cliche saying, but it's a cliche for a reason. So if the Nets keep doing, you know, the things that are in their hands, whether it's the basketball or whether it's just the energy on either end of the floor, they're going to get more wins and losses in this final 20 games. And who knows what could happen when there's, you know, resting of players and that sort of thing. But if you bank the wins now and you keep playing the right way, then everything will take care of itself.
100%, Jack.
That's it, man. I'm done.
All right, that wraps it up. You know, happy to be talking about another win. I think we've talked about more wins this season at this point than we expected. And as always, if you want to go back and listen to some of them, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, NetsRepublic.com, Dash Radio, and YouTube.